right, wonderful. Thank you, the Rayleigh-Green combination there. We'll have to come up with a name for that quartet. All right, so if y'all got suggestions, y'all can turn those in, and we'll come up with a name for that quartet. Appreciate the good music. Appreciate the good time we've had together so far. Isn't it wonderful to be in church and have an opportunity to come and not just open the Bible up, but just come and be able to be a part of something that Jesus Christ has ordained and something that He has commissioned and something that He's a part of and loves. You know, I found the Christian life is not as hard as you think it is. You know what you need to do? It's very simple. Here's what you do. Find out what Jesus loves and love it. Find out what Jesus did and do it. You find out what He was interested in, be interested in it. And I promise you, if you'll do those things, you'll find out that the Christian life is not near as difficult as we make it. And so think about that. Chew on that for just a few moments tonight as you turn to 2 John verse 8 and Jude verse 20 and 21. I'm going to pick up and try to finish up tonight what I started last Sunday night. If you're visiting with us, we've been talking about, preaching about, teaching through on Sunday evenings on our theme for the year, which is ministering to the multitudes. You know, Jesus stood on the Mount of Olives and He looked out over Jerusalem and He saw the multitudes of people, both Jew and Gentile. And He saw them scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. And the Scripture said He had compassion on them. And that's kind of been our theme this year of ministering to the multitudes. And last week we talked about a bunch of things, and I wanted to kind of give a synopsis of that in just a moment. But we've talked about so many different things about ministering to others and how to go about ministry and what the Scripture teaches about various aspects of ministry. And, you know, but if we're not careful, we'll get ministering or attempting to minister to others and we'll forget about ministering to ourselves. You know, when you minister to yourself, that's not selfish. It's needful. For instance, remember Mary and Martha at home. Jesus visited their home and Mary is cumbered about with a bunch of things. She's working and going about her daily duties. And she looks over there and she sees her sister sitting at Jesus' feet. Y'all with me? This is in the Bible. Okay? Check me out. It's in there. And so she sees Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. Y'all looked at me like y'all didn't believe the story was in the Bible. But she sees Mary, her sister, sitting at Jesus' feet. And so she tells the Lord, she said, "Lord, would you make her get up and come over and help me? Look, I'm going about all this work. I'm doing everything, and she is doing nothing but sitting there at your feet." Now, I want you to listen. This is very important. Jesus told Martha that Mary had chosen that which was needful. She chose the thing that was needful. Because let me tell you something, dear folks. If we don't get our battery recharged and we don't hook ourselves up and recharge ourselves and our spirit, I'm telling you, you won't last any time in serving people and ministering to the multitudes. Listen, folks, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. We've got to train for a marathon, not for a 100-yard dash. This is for the duration. This is for the rest of your life. Have you found your place there in 2 John verse 8? Would you stand? Let's read a couple of verses. And one in 2 John verse 8 and the other two in Jude verse 20 and 21 as we continue on in our study and preaching on ministering to yourself. Okay, 2 John and verse number 8. Notice what it says. John says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." He said, look to yourself, pay attention to yourself, minister to yourself. He said, so that in the long haul we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And folks, listen, I'm serving God because I love the Lord. I'm serving God because He saved me. But you know what? I'm also serving Him because there's some incentives in serving God. He said that if we'll serve Him and look to ourselves and keep up a maintenance program in our service and keep energizing ourselves and recharging ourselves, He says then at the end we can receive a full reward. I want a full reward. By the way, payday was just recently on the 15th for those of you that get paid twice a month. How would you like to go pick your paycheck and you only got part of your reward? You only got partial payment. Would you go home and say, well, you know what, that's just the way it goes. I only got half of my check this month. And no, you wouldn't. You'd go back in, you'd say, listen, I don't know what's up, but somebody, y'all call somebody, something's wrong with this check. You'd make a big deal out of it, right? Can I say something to you? We need to make a big deal out of serving God. And if we don't minister to ourselves, we're not going to go and make it for the long haul. So He said, look to yourselves. Now look at Jude and verse 20. He says, but ye, beloved, stop. Anytime you see the word beloved, who's He talking to? Always believers. Okay, when you see the word brethren, always believers. And so He says, but ye, beloved, now notice this, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And so we've looked at three passages of Scripture. It said, look to yourselves, build up yourselves, keep yourselves. It sounds to me like God is not against us ministering to ourselves. The problem is, the reason most of us don't do a good job is we don't know how to go about the process of ministering to us. Now listen, we got it nailed down how to minister to others, but we're not very good at ministering to us so that we can keep ourselves going for the long haul. Father, bless our time and effort tonight in the preaching of your word. Stir hearts, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I mentioned last week, you can call it whatever you want. You can call it burnout. You can call it burn up. You can call it backsliding, backing off, buried. You can call it whatever you want. But there's a lot of people, a lot of God's people on the sidelines tonight doing absolutely nothing. They're not ministering to anybody because they neglected the area of ministering to themselves. They forgot about and took for granted that, you know what? Here's the idea we got. Matter of fact, this is nothing but a smokescreen from the devil. Here's what he'll tell you. He'll say, listen, you don't have to worry about it. Just go minister to people and God will take care of you. You ever heard people say that? You say, listen, you just go out there, God will take care of you. Well, let me say something. I'll say something to you tonight. Like I said this morning, God is not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. He's not going to come and read the Scriptures to you. You can do that yourself. He's not going to come and do certain things in your home that you can do for yourself. You see, we want God to do everything, but we want to get all the credit. God's not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. And so there are ways that we can minister to ourselves in the work of God. I said, first of all, last week, that we needed to sanctify ourselves. Now, in order to do this, remember the things we talked about? There's going to have to be discipline, dedication, direction, and devotion. If those ingredients are not in the process, we're not going to accomplish what we need to accomplish, church. So we have to sanctify ourselves. We've got to consecrate, separate ourselves. Remember, I used the illustration of this pulpit. Then wouldn't this pulpit look strange in your living room? You know what? It's pulpits aren't designed to be in people's living rooms. Pulpits are designed to be on platforms to preach the Word of God behind. You see this desk right here? This is a sanctified piece of furniture. It's set aside for the preaching of the Word of God. That's what it's for. God said He saved you. He sanctified you. He set you apart for the work of the ministry. What good are we going to be if we neglect ourselves in ministering to ourselves, keeping ourselves in line and charged up? I said last week that you belong to God. You are not your own. You say, you mean God owns me? Yes, He does. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you have been bought with a price and you're not your own. You belong to God. Matter of fact, listen, folks, that means we don't have the right to go where we want to go, do what we want to do, say what we want to say. God ought to be preeminent in everything we do, in every place we go, in every word we say. You see, all I'm saying to you tonight, if we don't minister to ourselves, then we're going to fall short in the long haul. Many of us go out, we knock doors several times a week. Do you know what? Listen now, I'll meet as many saved people out of church as I do lost people out of church. Come on now. I said I meet as many saved people out of church as I do lost people out of church. And normally it goes something like this. When I meet somebody that's a born-again believer and they're out of church, many times it will all come back to something of, well, you know what, preacher, I served for a lot of years and I just got burnt out. Now, what they're telling me is they allowed their guard to drop. What they're telling me is there was no maintenance program. What they're telling me is there was no way, there was no discipline, there was no developing of some way to keep themselves in the place that they needed to keep themselves to serve God for the long haul. Now, I said you have to sanctify yourself. I said, number two, arm yourself. Arm yourself. Listen, we need to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Memorize. You say, oh, preacher, boy, I just have a hard time memorizing. Well, I can say that for some. But you know, the amazing thing, isn't it amazing how we can't seem to find time to memorize the Word of God, but I hear most of you walking down the hall singing songs. Amen. I'll just amen myself. Okay? Because we know it's true. It's not that we can't memorize, it's that we don't memorize the Word of God. It's not that the Word of God is too hard to memorize, it's that we choose not to. Listen, I got a 6-year-old granddaughter. And let me tell you something. She can literally almost memorize an entire CD. We have a CD at home, and my wife I had it the other day in the truck, and she was with me, and I had the CD and put it in. She says, oh, Poppy, go to number 11. I'm like, what's number 11? And she told me what the song was, what number 11 was. She said, I like number 11. She said, after that one, go to number 8. I like number 8 too. After that one, go to number 4. I really like number 4. Now, what I'm saying, 6 years old, she'd memorize it. And you know what? She can sit in the back of the truck and sing the words to that song. So all I'm saying to you is we've got to arm ourselves. We've got to expect that we're going to come under attack at some point. And so we've got to expect to endure a degree of grief in ministry. And then make sure that you're secure and in line with biblical giving. And we talked about that. And then the last thing we did, remember we sung a little bit last week? The scripture says now that we're to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, when we sing the Word of God, psalms and stuff, that's literally singing the Bible. And you know, the Bible is alive. It's a living organism. And it can speak to you and minister to you as you memorize it and as you sing it. And so we sang some psalms, we sang some hymns, and we sang some spiritual songs last week. So that's kind of where we ended last week. And I want to pick up right there. So take your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to talk to you about number 4. If we're going to minister ourselves, not only do we need to sanctify ourselves, not only do we need to arm ourselves, speak to ourselves, listen carefully now, this is very important, we need to assemble ourselves. We need to assemble ourselves. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10, are you there? Hebrews 10, take a look at it if you would please. Hebrews 10 and verse number 22. Now I want you to circle two words here, verse 22, it says, let us stop. Wonder who he's talking about right there. He's not talking about two or three people. He said, let us, Christendom, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Look at verse 23. What does your Bible say? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Look at verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now we come to verse 25 that we hear quoted all the time, but if you don't read verse 22, verse 23, and verse 24, you don't understand what verse 25 is talking about and why the Scripture tells us not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So if we're going to minister to ourselves, one of the things that we've got to do is we cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves. I want you to look around. I want you to look around tonight. Look at all the people gone here tonight. You say, well, preacher, maybe this, maybe this. I don't think all of them are working. Amen. I don't think all of them are sitting at home watching the baseball game. At least I hope they're not. I don't think they're all. I think there's just a bunch that chose, you know what, I'm not going to be here tonight. What's your reasoning for not assembling yourselves? I just don't want to. I just don't want to. Now, all I'm saying to you, folks, listen, eventually in the long haul, it will be those people that will not be able to make it for the duration. It will be those people that are going to fall out in the marathon. It's those people that many of us are going to pass somewhere in the Christian life and say, man, didn't you used to go to Trinity Baptist? Yeah. 12 years ago, what happened? I just got burnt out. They didn't prepare. They weren't ready. And usually it starts with forsaking the assembling. It usually starts with forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You say, preacher, why do we have to assemble? Why does the Scripture say that we have to come and assemble ourselves together? Well, look in verse 22, 23, 24. It said, let us draw near. Let us hold fast. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. There's something about being together. There's something about being around other believers. Now, let me give you a couple things to think about right here. First of all, when we assemble ourselves and we minister to ourselves, what we need to do is we need to place ourselves under the influence of preaching. It's the foolishness of preaching that changes lives. It's preaching that the Scripture says that moves the heart. Not teaching, but preaching is what does it in the hearts and lives of people. Why do some not assemble themselves? Because they don't want to hear preaching. Now, I want to say something right here. Every great decision that I've made for Christ in my Christian life, I've made as a direct result of preaching. Amen. I'm going to say it again because some of you are asleep. I said every great decision I've made in my Christian life for Christ, I made as a direct result of preaching. You say, well, name one decision. Okay, how about salvation? Would that be a good one? You know how I came to Christ? Through preaching. Is how I came to Christ. I sit right back there where Ben Riley is sitting in that vicinity. The preacher preached that night, and you know what? He kept going with the invitation and kept going with the invitation. Finally, I came down the aisle as a result of preaching. Preaching. That's what changed my life. You see, every decision that you're going to make for Christ in life, you're going to find out that the majority of those decisions will be a direct result of preaching. You'll find also, you'll come to church, you'll hear preaching, you'll think, well, that's all right. I believe all that. And you know what? God will take that message, and 2 weeks later in your life, He'll take that message and take you and do this with you. And start wringing your life out, and you'll think, wait a minute. God, that was a message 2 weeks ago. That didn't have anything to do with tonight. You see, it doesn't matter when the preaching goes forth. What happens is when the preaching goes out, it sows a seed in your conscience that gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to work in your life. You see, we must minister to ourselves by being and assembling ourselves together and place ourselves under the influence of preaching.
Take your Bible, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You say, why preaching, Pastor? Well, let's take a look at it for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are, talk to me now, unto us which are who? Which are saved, it is the power of God. God uses preaching in miraculous ways. The power of God comes through preaching. That's the reason we come to church. Listen now, our hearts and spirit must be prepared. Now here's what we want. We want to come to church. We want the Holy Ghost to fill us at church. Stop just a moment. Most of the time, when we have a Holy Ghost-filled service, it takes place in the lives of people before they get to church. You see, a Holy Ghost-filled service only takes place when the people of God already come filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, most of the time you're not going to get it just by coming to church and sitting in the church pew. You don't believe that? Look around. Most of us will come tonight and leave exactly the same as we came. And we'll say, well, man, the Holy Ghost didn't show up tonight. No, no, no. No, the problem is we didn't show up tonight. Amen, preacher. I'll amen myself right there. Okay? Now, listen now. This is a two-way street, folks. Okay? We've got to be prepared to receive it. All right? Listen, when I go out to eat, my wife and I go out to eat. We don't go out a ton of times, but when we go out to eat, we go out when we're hungry, we're prepared for the meal. Man, I tell you one thing, I bellied up to Papa Do's the other day. And man, I looked down at those crawfish and they were just singing. Now, all I'm saying to you is I bellied up to the table there, I was prepared for the meal. And you know something? I'm telling you, I did everything. If they'd have turned their head, I'd have licked the plate. It was that good. You see, if we're going to come to church, we've got to be prepared for the preaching. We've got to be prepared to receive it. So preaching is the power of God. Take your Bible, go to Titus chapter 1. I want to say, number two, that preaching reveals the truths of the Word of God. Titus chapter 1 and verse 3. Titus chapter 1 and verse 3. Take a look at it. It says, but hath in due times manifested, speaking of God, which in verse 2 says that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word. Does your King James Bible say through preaching? You see, there just seems to be something that's important about preaching. There just seems to be something in Scripture about preaching that is to be used to minister to our spirit. There's just something about preaching that God reveals certain things, and particularly He reveals truths of the Word of God. First of all, through preaching, you know what? Preaching also reveals not only the truth of the Word of God, but preaching convicts. Now, that may be some of the reasons some don't come. That may be some of the reasons some don't want to assemble, because we don't necessarily like to be convicted. Amen. I'll just amen myself right there again. Now, there may not be anybody be amening tonight, but me, bless God, that's the way it's going to be. All right? You see, all I'm saying to you tonight, you say, preacher, man, love, you kind of got off on a tangent this morning about certain things and stuff. Man, you stepped on my toes. Hey, folks, listen to me. The preaching of the Word of God should convict us. That's what it ought to do. My goodness, I don't come to church for somebody to tickle my ears. I come to church to try to find out, what does the Word of God say? What does God want me to do? You see, sometimes the preaching of God's Word convicts. May I say number two, and this is important. Sometimes the preaching of the Word of God counsels. Now, folks, listen. If I had my secretary schedule every person that called for a counseling meeting, I wouldn't have time to prepare for any messages at all. I can't take every counseling meeting. And so I don't necessarily all the time try to counsel through preaching, but you know, sometimes if people would be here enough, they could get a lot of counseling through the preaching. You say, who does the counseling? Not me. The Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God goes forth and counsels our heart about some areas. So sometimes the preaching convicts. Sometimes we get counseling out of it. Sometimes, you know what? It causes us to make commitments. That's scary, isn't it? Man, the preacher preaching, man, we'll commit to be out on knocking doors soul winning on Thursday nights or Saturday. And we go home and we'll ask our wife, honey, what did I just commit to? You committed to be a soul winner for 1 year. Does that mean every week? That means every week, honey, that's what you raised your hand. You made that commitment tonight. You see, it's amazing how that preaching not only will convict, it counsels, but what it does, it causes us to make commitments. It causes and brings us to a place to make a commitment to Jesus Christ with our life. All the commitments, almost every commitment I've ever made to Christ in my life was made through preaching. You know what preaching also does? It provokes compassion. It provokes comfort. Oh, listen now. It also is good for correction. You see, sometimes preaching has to go forth to correct. You say, well, preacher, you're not my daddy or mama. Not trying to be. But you know what? I do have a Bible that God commanded me to preach. I don't have to be your daddy. I don't have to be your mama. All I want to do is to be a preacher of the Word of God and let the Spirit of God be whatever He needs to be in your life. That's all I'm going to do. All I'm going to do is proclaim the truth and let God do His work in our hearts. You see, sometimes the preaching, it comes to the point of correction. Take your Bible, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Turn there if you would quickly. Should be fairly close. I said preaching reveals the truths of God. May I say also that preaching motivates and promotes the Christian life. Preaching motivates and promotes the Christian life. Are you there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16? Now I want you to circle these two words. The Bible says all Scripture. Does that word all mean everything excluding nothing? It means I have an every word Bible. Is that what it means? That means every word of Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now listen now. And is profitable. That means that whatever comes forth from the preaching of the Word of God, there's some profit to it. And first of all, it says it's profitable for doctrine. For a foundation of belief. Listen, you know how most of us came to believe what we believe? You say, well, the Holy Spirit told me. But you know what? First of all, He probably ignited that through preaching. You know how I came to know how to be saved? Through preaching. You know how I came to surrender my life to Christ to preach the gospel? It was through preaching. You see, preaching ministers to our spirit. It ministers to ourselves. But when we're not assembled, we miss out on the preaching of the Word of God. It says it's profitable for doctrine. Look at this. It says it's profitable for reproof. You know what it does? It opens our eyes to some things. How many times have you had, through preaching, the preacher say something, and all of a sudden, your mind just went, bloop, light bulb came on. You thought, man alive, I've never thought about that. I've never realized that. You see, sometimes the preaching opens our eyes. It turns the light on. Listen, we go in the house tonight. My 6-year-old granddaughter, she's not going in unless the lights are on. So you know what I do? Open the door. First thing I do is reach over there, flip the lights up. Matter of fact, some of you ain't going in your house until the lights are on either, right? Y'all know the boogerman to get you in the dark, right? So all I'm saying, church, is simply this. Is that preaching, it is good, the Scripture says, for reproof. It opens our eyes. It shows us what's wrong. Anybody got anything wrong with your life? You know what the preaching does? It shows you what's wrong. You say, preacher, you got problems? Yeah, I read some of the Scriptures this morning, and God told me this morning, you got problems. It shows me what's wrong in my life through preaching. May I say number two, the Word of God not only is good, profitable for doctrine, but for reproof. Look at this now. And for correction. So not only does it show me what's wrong, number two, it shows me how to get it right. Listen, God's not going to show me what's wrong and then play hide and seek with how to get it right. He's going to show me from Scripture how to get it right. That's what correction is. Mamas and daddies, when you correct your children, you don't correct them so that because it's a lot of fun. You correct them for the intent so that they can get it right. That's why we correct them. That's through the preaching. That there's doctrine, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction. Listen to this now, for instruction. So reproof shows me in my life what's wrong. It opens my eyes to some things. Correction shows me how to get it right. And then instruction shows me how to keep it right. How to keep it right for the long haul. For the marathon that we're in. All right, scoot down if you would to chapter 4 and verse number 2. Look at what Paul tells Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Look at the first word right there. See that word reprove? It's real simple. It's real similar to the word reproof. It means, again, open our eyes, turn the light on. It says to preach the word, and he said reprove, open people's eyes. Number two, rebuke, keep pressing the issue. He said, preacher, I'm so tired of hearing about going out and telling people about Christ. Well, then tear it out of the Bible then, because it's there. And as long as it's there, I'm going to say something about it. Hey, as long as it's in the Bible, I'm going to say something about it. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. It's to go tell people about Christ. It says rebuke. Oh, look at this word here. The word exhort. You know what God does? The wonderful thing. Not only does He open our eyes, then He keeps pressing the issue once our eyes are open. And then you know what He does? That word exhort means then He makes an appeal for us to respond. He wants us to respond. It would be kind of like at the end of the service tonight when we give an invitation. You know what that is? That's an appeal to respond. Be amazed at how many people will not respond. And all I'm saying to you simply is this, that there's a reason that we assemble ourselves together. Now, I said, place yourself under the influence of preaching. Secondly, place yourself under the influence of fellowship. You say, I don't need all these people. Try to go without them for a while. And you will. Oh, yes. Yes, you will. I go about every 2 or 3 months, we rotate in our staff when we go down to the LSU unit in Huntsville where our missionary to the Texas prison system, Brother Chris Athey, is the chaplain. I got big old guys that will come down there. They come down there, Brother Abshendik, Brother Combs, I've gone, Brother Gonzalez. You have these big old guys. These guys will be 6'3", 6'4", weigh about 250. And they'll walk up to you and they'll say, will you pray with me? And I say, I'll ask him, well, sure, brother. So what do we need to pray about? Would you pray that my family will come see me? I said, well, how long has it been since they've seen you? I haven't seen anybody in my family in 5 years. You know what's even sadder than that? Try going to some of the nursing homes and going room to room and door to door and find out how long it's been since somebody's visited them. You see, sometimes what I'm saying to you, church, is you don't realize the value of what you have until it's there no longer. You see, these men didn't realize what they had in their family until they didn't have it anymore. And I've seen 6'3", 6'4", 250-pound men sob like little babies because not one family member has talked to them, sent them a letter, or visited them in 5 years. They have no idea what's going on. I said, you know what? Place yourself under the influence of fellowship. You and I need each other in this race of life as we serve God. We need each other. We need each other for assurance. Assuring each other. You know what? There's still a God in heaven that sits on the throne, and He's in control and working all things together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Hey, we need that. You know where you get that? When you assemble. When you assemble, that's where you get that. People tell me all the time, say, "Preach, I'm just discouraged. I'm depressed." Well, listen, let me tell you something. One of the best things I've found about for discouragement and depression is don't stay home, come to church. Don't stay home in a dark room looking at a wall. Come to church. You need that fellowship. You need it for assurance. You need it for encouragement. Listen, you need it for support. Because your hour of darkness is coming. If you have not already experienced an hour of darkness, your hour of darkness is coming. And you know what you're going to need? You're going to need the assembly of the people of God to be there, to pray for you, to love you. You see, we need the influence of fellowship. Can I say this? And I want you to listen. This is very important about fellowship. You place yourself under the influence of the fellowship of the assembly of believers so that God can love you, listen now, through something tangible. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" You know, we can say all day long, and we can say, "Oh, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me." But you know how God's going to manifest and show His love to you? Through people. And whether you want to admit it or not, you want God's love to be displayed through something tangible. Something you can see, something you can touch, something you can hear. And you know what? God can love you through other people. Well, you get out there away from the assembly and stuff, you may not ever experience that. I said place yourself under preaching. Place yourself under the influence of fellowship. Place yourself under the influence of ministry. You say, "Well, I don't have to come to church to serve God." Okay, fine. I just found out that most people that don't come to church don't serve God. Amen. So how long have you been in this? 27 years. I've been knocking doors just a few months, 3 months after I came to Christ. Hey, listen, they just told me you need to be out there soul and knocking doors. So I just went and did it. I just did what they told me to do. I've been doing it now for 27 years, knocking doors. You know what I find out? People that aren't in church normally aren't ministering. They're not giving out. And so since they're not giving out, you know what they're probably not doing also? Taking in. Because if they were taking in the Word of God and they were taking in fellowship with the Lord, you know what would be happening? They'd be giving out. They'd be giving out. I said place yourself under the influence of fellowship. Place yourself under the influence of preaching. Place yourself under the influence of ministry. You see, when we assemble together, it's a place to give out, church. It's a place that we can go and minister. It's a place that we can come and express our spiritual gifts that God has given us. It's a place that we can come, listen now, and make a difference. Make a difference. My wife told me the story this afternoon. We had one of our ladies in our church. Was out, I don't know if she was having a garage sale or at a garage sale. Hey, come on, ladies, amen right there. Garage sale. And so she was either at one or having one, and she talked to a lady and began to witness her and gave her a track. She looked at the track, and it had my name on the track, and she said, "Oh, yeah, I know Brother Todd." And she said, "Well, did you used to come to Trinity Baptist Church?" "Yeah, I used to." She said, "Well, would you consider coming back?" "Oh, I'll think about it." She said, "Well, why didn't you come anymore?" "Well, I got mad at him." That's a novelty that you'd ever get mad. "But I got mad at him." Now listen, I'm going to tell you what in the situation for sake of privacy. But who the person she's talking about, I counseled in private something that was biblical, and she chose not to follow biblical advice. And you know what happened, Brother Garner? Her family crashed. But wait a minute, you know who she got mad at? Me. You see, the thing about it is, things went awry, things derailed, train went off the track, exploded, everything went out of whack. And you know whose fault it was? It's my fault, because the train went off the track and derailed. No, you know what the problem was? The problem was she hadn't been assembling for a long time. And if she would just kept coming and assembling and put herself under preaching, put herself under the fellowship of the believers, and put herself in a place of ministry, you know what? May not be in that place today. I don't know if she'll come back or not. I hope she does. But you know what? If she does, what I counseled her, I'm not changing my mind, because it's from the Bible. And folks, when you counsel somebody and you just read it from the Bible, there you go. There's not a whole lot you can do. It's right there in black and white. Unless you're in the New Testament and you're reading the red letter edition, then it's in red. Now listen, I'm going to have to stop here. We'll finish this up next Sunday. But listen to me. I said if we're going to minister to ourselves, we're going to have to assemble ourselves. Now, I spent a lot of time on this, longer than I thought I would. But folks, listen to me. I'm telling you, every major decision I've ever made in my life, I made at church, I made under preaching. Listen, when I needed, in some of the darkest hours of my life, my wife's life, my family's life, you know what I needed? I needed fellowship. You know where I found it? I found it when I assembled. That's where I found it. That's where I found encouragement. That's where I found these things in life. And you know what? That's where you'll find these things as well. So put yourself under preaching. Assemble yourself and put yourself under the influence of fellowship of the believers. And then put yourself under the influence of ministry. We'll pick up there next Sunday night. And I hope that you'll take and digest these things until we meet again. And ministering to ourselves. Think about these things as you go. Would you bow your heads tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. How many can say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm a born-again